Greetings and welcome to all of you critical thinkers out there. This is another Throttle Up radio show, and it is a radio show and soon to be podcast that showcases critical thinking. So I guess you could say in the marketplace of ideas, we are promoting this idea, which we call critical thinking, and we would like to believe that critical thinking is applicable in our daily lives and is something that we can use on a daily basis to improve our lives, not only our lives, but the lives of our loved ones and our extended family members, which includes our loved ones and, of course, our community and our country. So before I continue, I would like to say I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. This show is being recorded the day before. It will be broadcast on the weekend after Thanksgiving. But I hope everybody had or is having a great Thanksgiving, and we are all grateful for, hopefully, all of us are grateful for this great country of ours that we live in. Now, Throttle Up is a radio show that is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. And like I said, it's a showcase, or it's a platform for this belief that critical thinking is something that we can all use on a daily basis to improve what we are doing, improve what we are going about. There is a lot of success stories out there, which we hope to bring to a lot of people's attention. And I guess maybe that's one of the reasons, or perhaps even the primary reason for this radio show, is to point out the successes that critical thinking has had in the marketplace of ideas. Now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express, which is powered by High Velocity Reason. I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. I am a naval aviator and trained in the art and science of aerial combat. Also, I'm a pioneer in the field of critical thinking, as well as, after I retired from the Navy, I was an airline captain, and I flew all over the world for a major airline. So I have a lot of experience in dealing with the practical aspects of critical thinking. Our tagline for the show is Accelerate Beyond the Ordinary, and our motto is to employ high-velocity reason to achieve high-octane performance. And we have a mission statement, too, for the show. It changes from time to time a little bit, but the mission statement right now is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Our website, of course, is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. And the audio engineering services for this show is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and that's right outside of Denver, and I would encourage all of you out there that are looking for audio recording services to please check them out. I'll look them up. They're a great group of folks. They've been working with me for a long time now, and we appreciate their professionalism. Now, Throttle Up is typically organized into three parts. Part one is a continuing discussion of critical thinking. Now, critical thinking is becoming more and more important as the days and weeks go on. And here it is. And I will be talking about the 2016 Future of Jobs Report published by the World Economic Forum. They have expressed interest in this whole idea of critical thinking. And so that sort of like is a major support for this program. So we will, as we always do, we will be talking about critical thinking in part one. And then part two is our storyboard. And that typically is the story of America most of the time because of all of the hot button political issues of the day. Most of the time we do talk about some form of politics, some aspects of the current political environment that we find ourselves in. And finally, part three is the radio essay. And the radio essay could be an additional treatment of a particular subject of interest for the radio essay for the near term. We're going to be talking about The Art of War by Sun Tzu, because we are still engaged in combat as a country. And I think it's probably useful for us to understand at a deeper level, what is this whole thing about going to war? What is this whole thing about pursuing some kind of a combat operations? And what is the purpose of it? What are we trying to achieve? What is the, we call it, what is the end point, or what's the final objective that we're trying to accomplish? And I think, you know, if we're going to raise the debate in this country above the mundane, I think it's important for us to understand at a critical level why we do things, and how is it that we came to this point in our lives, our personal lives, or the life of this country? How is it that we have come to this point? Remember, the critical thinking is all about how to think, and it has to do very little with what we think, because what we think will change on an hourly, daily, monthly, yearly basis, but how to think will not necessarily change very much. It still is primarily an effective way, if we look at how to think in terms of how to think critically, that really has not changed very much since the ancient Greek philosophers. And so that will change, of course, but will not change very much. And so we can rest assured that if we learn, first and foremost, how to think, we are going to do ourselves justice. Okay, now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express. Now, this is a place where all critical thinkers are welcome with open arms. Okay, so let us now prepare ourselves and get ready to move on to part one. Welcome back to part one of Throttle Up for this week. And I would like to start off this discussion of critical thinking by reading again the 2016 Future of Jobs Report. And this was published by the World Economic Forum, and it is a shining example of the support for this radio show, which highlights and showcases critical thinking in our daily lives. Now, this publication, which I think is pretty important, and I think we all ought to be aware of it, particularly those in business that are responsible either directly or indirectly with hiring practices, manning their organizations, and on-the-job training within each organizational functional area. And I think all of those are applicable. Also, if we are an entrepreneur, or we are a sole business, it doesn't really matter what is our particular occupation or vocation or interest. But this, I think, applies across the board. So this report predicted that by the year 2020, critical thinking and complex problem solving will be the most in-demand set of skills in the global job market. But unfortunately, this will also be the hardest skill set to fill. or in other words, it's going to be very difficult to recruit for this skill set because it is not a traditional set of skills. It is something that is perhaps gained through previous job experience. There may be some that graduate from colleges and universities that have some notion of what critical thinking is because college and universities are starting to now, in a belated way, address themselves to this. But most of the training and education, rather, in colleges and universities does not cover this. But it should, because education ought to be how to think, teaching us how to think. It should be deal very little with what is going on today in terms of what people think. But we should be thought leaders. In fact, our educational system ought to be producing the next generation of thought leaders. It ought to be producing the next army of critical thinkers to enter the job market. And we're not doing that. And so when we are ever going to get around to doing that, I don't know. All right, anyway, before we start, okay, so this is a good introduction to Throttle Up, and I'm going to use this report from time to time to remind ourselves why we're here, why we're listening to Throttle Up, and what is the purpose of this radio show. Before we get into that, again, I would like to hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I do have some bad news, which had just occurred. I just it just came across the wire. The U.S. Navy suffered another serious accident, catastrophe, where one of their aircraft crashed at sea. It was proceeding to the USS Ronald Reagan, and it crashed with 11 sailors on board. By the last reports I read, there were maybe three survivors to that crash, but tragic loss of life. And as a retired naval aviator, and as a longtime carrier pilot, I know the dangers of operating in that environment. And my heart goes out to these victims and their families, especially their families. This is not going to be a good Thanksgiving for those families, and I'm confident that the Navy is going to mobilize everything that they possibly can to bring some measure of comfort to these grieving families. It's a little bit hard. It's especially hard for me because I've been there and done that. And to remember that is quite painful. Okay, so let us proceed on to part one now of Throttle Up, which is a continuing discussion of critical thinking. Now, remember, as we go through this thing, remember you get your news from many sources on a daily basis. But can you get useful information on critical thinking applied to today's world? Now, you know, I've been reading the tea leaves, since I'm, kind of in this business. I'm in the radio business, and also we're producing some videos, which will be showing up sometime within the next, hopefully next 6 months, on some video channels. But I'm looking at where the business is going. What is the business right now, and where is this business going? What a business am I talking about? Well, the media, if you will. Most specifically, I'm talking about audio and video. All right, the audio market, of course, is radio. And the radio is here to stay. But I would also include in that radio and podcast, because more and more radio shows are now being preserved in digital format, and that you can go into a digital library and retrieve these radio shows that then exist as a podcast or in a podcast format. And that's true of Throttle Up. We are now working to convert, if you will, the radio show into a podcast format and preserve it in a digital library. And there is some access currently to this digital library, but it will soon be available through most of the digital library channels or access points, if you will, on the World Wide Web. As soon as that happens, and we're hopefully that will happen very soon. I keep thinking in terms of weeks. My guess right now is, because we are in the last phase of this development, my guess is that we will have this digital library available through normal digital library channels and websites very, very shortly, probably in the next 1 or 2 weeks. We're getting right down to the wire. Pretty excited about it. All of our folks have been working hard on this, and we're all pretty excited about this this new podcast capability that we are going to have for Throttle Up or the Throttle Up Radio. Okay, so we talked about the jobs report. Now we're going to continuing our discussion on this part one. We're going to continue our discussion about hypothetically being on a team. Now, this team, and we are team members now. We are members now in our thought experiment. We are members of a training organization, and that specializes in delivering to high-valued customers specialized targeted training products in ways to more effectively manage complex situations so as to improve the mission success of these customers. Now, our customers in this hypothetical exercise is deep water oil platform operators. The environment for oil platform operations is at once complex and dangerous, and the customer is looking for solutions to this arena of how can we improve the safety culture, the safety posture of these complex arrangements, these big mechanisms that we call deep water oil platforms. So, as part of this Tiger team, we are brainstorming on the whiteboard in this conference room that we're all sitting around this conference table, and we have a whiteboard, we have a projector, we have a PowerPoint capability and all of that stuff. But we have listed on the whiteboard the following things, and we're going to try to keep this in mind as we go through this meeting, probably going to be a long meeting. But this is one of our early meetings. It's not the kickoff meeting, but it's one of our early meetings as the team gets together and tries to figure out exactly what it's going to be doing and exactly what kind of training products it's going to produce for this high-valued customer. So on the whiteboard, we have item number one: who is the customer? And the customer is not just a name, but the customer is a purpose. It's a purpose-driven organization. What is the purpose of the organization? And what are they attempting to do? Why do they want to do it? And what value are they expecting to achieve in the marketplace? Item two is, what is the characteristics of the environment in which this customer operates? This is particularly important. And this is really the trend. If you had to look at a trend line in terms of where business is moving and what direction is business moving, that probably is the mark of the trend line, which is what is the characteristics of the environment in which the customer operates? Item number three is, what is the customer's mission statement? They should have one. If they don't, then, of course, that becomes action item number one. And the this company that we work for, this training development firm, that could be one of our action items to deliver to the customer. What is the customer's mission statement? And then one, two, three. Item number four is, what is the problem definition? What is the problem for which we are seeking a solution? And we do this without making reference to the solution. So let's make it a pure problem statement. And that's very important. In the field of critical thinking, that's a requirement. The problem definition or the problem statement needs to be pure. It needs to be uncontaminated. And so we develop the problem statement with respect to only the problem at hand, with no reference at all to a possible solution. You'll see this often violated, and I cringe when I cringe whenever I see this. I'm thinking to myself, "Whoa, wow, these people sure need a course on a crash course on critical thinking, because this is just not the way to think. This is not the way to go, and this is going to produce disastrous results. Because if the problem statement is not pure, then it closes the door to innovation. And that's particularly important, and that's what we don't want to do. Critical thinking ought to be, first and foremost, an open invitation to innovation. So if we're going to put on the critical thinking hat, then we have, or we should be, opening the door wide to innovation and creativity. If innovation and creativity cannot get through our thick skulls, then we are not thinking critically. We are thinking in other terms, but we are not engaged in critical thinking. So that's the reason for the pure problem definition. Okay, item number six is, what is the customer's mission performance model? In other words, the customer does something, all right? The customer does something. You can say, oh, well, they drill for oil. No. That's too simplistic. What exactly is the customer doing? They are extracting oil from deep water, all right? But let's create the mission performance model for the customer. And if without the mission performance model, we are dead in the water in terms of delivering viable training products to the customer. We must have that as the template by which we develop our training program. So let's create the mission performance model. Item seven is, how does the customer detect mission critical events? Now, we know that mission critical events are going to happen. In fact, across the board, we know that to be true. Mission critical events are going to happen across the economic board, across all industries, across all businesses, across all enterprises. Mission critical events are going to happen. And how are they detected? And how are they dealt with? Item number eight, how are emergency situations resolved by the customer? That's pretty critical. In other words, if emergency situations occur, these are pending catastrophes, if you will, how are they currently dealt with? How are they currently resolved by the customer? And what needs to be done in this area, if anything, to help the customer do a better job of resolving these emergency situations. Item number 9 has whatever we are doing. Item number 9 is now becoming the, you know, you could say, okay, well, this is the 800-pound gorilla in this conference room. And it is. The 800-pound gorilla in this conference room is this. And it's item number 9 on the list, which is, has whatever we are attempting to do, has this been attempted in other industries? Okay, well, that ought to open the floodgates now because, number 1, as we said in the Navy, and particularly in naval aviation, where there was a constant, a steady stream of problems every day, are we reinventing the wheel or has somebody else figured out the solution to the problems that we have encountered? So off we go to see if other industries have addressed themselves to complexity issues, and if so, how successful have they been? All right. So how successful have they been? So let's look. Let's go out there and look at other industries to see if they have addressed themselves to a similar challenge that we are attempting to address in this hypothetical Tiger team that we are on, to see if, in fact, we can learn something from other attempts, from other industries. And we don't want to copy it, but we want to learn how they went about figuring this out, how they went about coming up with solutions, and how successful have they been. So we're going off to take a look at other industries, and we're going to reconvene in a week. We are on a tight time schedule here, so we want to deliver at least some preliminary products to the customer as soon as possible. But we are going to give ourselves a week to see if other industries have attempted similar things or attempted the same thing. So off we go. Now, you and I happen to be looking, we have chosen or have been asked to look at the airline industry, because we have some indication that the airline industry had encountered such a problem, encountered such a situation, and they had come up with something to address themselves to this mounting problem, to address themselves to this situation. And how do we know this? We know this from a number of sources. One of them, and I like this source a lot because it comes from outside of the aviation industry. One of them is Gawande's book on the Checklist Manifesto. We've mentioned that before on this radio show. And the author is Atul Gawande. He's a physician. He is a surgeon that practices his profession somewhere in the greater Boston area. He is also a writer. He's a rather good writer, has written a number of books. This book is the Checklist Manifesto. And I was doing a book signing event in Tucson, Arizona. This might have been 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. This college professor comes up and we started to have a conversation, and the conversation centered around my new book, which is called Critical Thinking Essentials, Quick Reference Handbook. It was just recently published, and we're very proud of that. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all other outlets. And I think it's a pretty good piece of work. It makes critical thinking accessible to operators and managers. In other words, it's not a lengthy tome. It is not overly complex. It's not dense. Most treatments on the subject are just a little bit too dense. They become inaccessible except for some academicians, perhaps, and other intellectuals, but for the working people like you and me, you need something a bit easier to understand without making it overly simplistic. And so we were talking about critical thinking, and he was talking about critical thinking in terms of what he does in his as a member of the academic community. He asked me, what books should I read to get a better handle on critical thinking? And I said, well, of course, you have my recently released handbook, and that's useful. There's two other books that I found to be quite beneficial. And the first one is The Logic of Failure by Dietrich Dorner. We mentioned his name before. And the second book is The Checklist Manifesto by Dr. Gawande. So we have learned through those two books, as well as other sources, that the airline industry encountered the same problems that we're having on the deep water oil platforms. And what problem is that? How to manage complexity in a complex world. That was the problem. That is the problem across all industries now. That is the problem. All right. So what happened that was the rude awakening for this rather well-established industry that we call the airline industry? In 1987, the accident rate began to rise again. And the causes of this rather dramatic reversal in the safety posture, the causes were unknown and they were unexpected, because we believed, all of us in the airline industry, and at that time, I had recently retired from the Navy and I went to work for a large airline. And at that time, I was part of the airline industry, and we expected the accident rate to continue to go down, and it wasn't. So the new technology that we're bringing in to the airplanes and the aviation was not correspondingly reducing the accident rate. In fact, it became a very, very serious problem. And the Federal Aviation Administration, along with the Department of Transportation and the Air Transport Association, hit the panic button. We've got to find a solution to this problem, and we've got to find it right away. And the reason for that is because the Congressional Oversight Committee was getting very concerned and very anxious. Traveling public was showing signs of concern, and so we need to find a problem. Now, the problem, as understood at the time, was caused by A, the real problem under careful consideration was not that. It was different. And so we began to employ some important aspects of critical thinking, which, as you know, is let's figure out the real problem. So let's create the problem definition and make sure it's pure. In other words, it's completely devoid of any reference to a solution. So what was the real problem? And the training program for the airline pilots did not match the environment. And that was key. So that was part of the problem definition. The training program, the formal training program for airline pilots, did in fact not match the actual environment in which the pilots operated in. The environment was considerably more complex than expected, and this highlighted issues of complexity and uncertainty, which were ignored in the training program. The training assumed a linear relationship between events and responses. And this assumption was seriously wrong, and it lacked the big picture. The big picture was the answer to, well, it was this question. The big picture was how to manage complexity in a complex world. That was the big picture. How do you do it? Do you do it in an ad hoc basis, or is there something that we can learn up front before we encounter the complex world? Is there something we can prepare ourselves for before we enter into this door called complexity, before we enter into this complex environment? So how do we prepare ourselves for this? And how do we teach it? No, we're going to teach it so that we can prepare ourselves for this complex world before we actually encounter it. Because if we are not prepared for it beforehand, if we do not have a priori knowledge, sorry for the big word, that's foreknowledge. A priori is know beforehand. Not even sure what language that comes from. And maybe one of my listeners knows, could send me an email. So managing complexity in a complex environment required us to do the following. One, and this is exactly what we are trying to do for this deep water oil platform customer. This is exactly what we're trying to do. The first thing is to create the mission statement. The second thing is to develop the mission performance model. This is how we're going to achieve mission success. This is the model of how we are going to perform in this environment. And what is the motto? Right? What is our motto? To keep this model simple so everybody can understand it and use it on a daily basis. What is our motto? For the Air Force, the motto is fly, fight, and win. That's a great motto. Thank you, United States Air Force. I appreciate that. And what is our mission objectives? And what kind of higher order reasoning do we need to employ so as to achieve these mission objectives? What sort of higher order reasoning do we need to employ so as to achieve these mission objectives? So the aircrew training program began to shape up, and we began to sketch out the outlines of it. And the first item that we sketched out was situational awareness. How do we clarify the actual? Now, that's in critical thinking terms, of course, but I think it is a good statement of what we're trying to do from a critical thinking standpoint. How do we go into a complex world and determine exactly what's going on? Determine actually what's going on? Or how do we clarify the actual? And that is not easy to do. So we need to have some clarification schemes known beforehand, ahead of time. We need to be prepared to go into a complex environment and be able to quickly clarify the actual. If we can do that, and we can do that reliably, then we got a leg up on being able to come up with a viable solution. And here is where critical thinking really takes over and really becomes our best friend. So how to think critically in a complex world? We need an avatar. We need a friend. We need a companion. Our best friend is critical thinking. So we'll keep that in mind. All right. So I can see that I've gone gone a bit over time on this rather fascinating subject. So I need to complete my discussions here on part one, critical thinking, and press on to part two. All right, so stand by for part two. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to part two of Throttle Up for this week. Part two is a discussion. Part two is our storyboard, and it is a discussion of critical thinking and as it applies to American politics. And so this is a rather, I would say, a rather unpleasant thing that, you know, that I bring to the table, but it's something that's going on, and we need to be able to understand it to make sense out of our political world, because it is, a lot of it is nonsensical. A lot of it has to deal with intellectual nonsense, and a lot of it is very confusing and maybe on purpose to keep us off guard. And so let us arm ourselves with critical thinking armor, and let us now dive into this world of American politics and begin to try to understand it from a critical thinking standpoint. Now, this is not another political talk show, as you know. Throttle Up is different. And Throttle Up considers current events through the critical thinking prism. And not everything that appears to be true is, in fact, true. This show attempts to break through the obvious attempts at deception and fake or planted news stories and Autobots that respond to news events that make it appear. These Autobots respond to news events that make it appear that more Americans are concerned about something when they actually aren't. And so there's a lot of nastiness going on in the political sphere, a lot of attempts to confront and assault our intelligence. And I guess you could say that by and large, we get insulted every day. The average American, the committed American gets insulted every day by nonsense. Now, I want to reread something that I found to be quite interesting with respect to this subject that we're on. And this is, again, by a gentleman by the name of Richard Thieme. He spells his last name, T-H-I-E-M-E. It could be Richard Thieme. I'm not exactly sure. Thiemeworks.com is his website. And he has a rather interesting piece. It's called Countermeasures to a Real Threat in a Dire Time. He starts off his piece by saying a massive effort at education that emphasizes critical thinking and how to distinguish the truth from lies is urgently needed. He goes on to say that hostile agents enter the political sphere, employing cognitive mechanisms that are designed to enhance the plausibility of a position that is devoid of facts and objectively cannot be represented as the truth. A rather interesting and well-stated position. So let me use that to segue into Edward Klein's new book, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. All right, now this is a recent released book. I haven't finished reading it, you know, but what I've read so far, I find it really quite fascinating. So I'm gonna complete this show by reading an excerpt from this book. It happens to be a chapter one, and this is really kind of what we are dealing with as average Americans, and also those of us who like and support Donald Trump. This is what we are confronted with. So let me quote from his chapter one, and I'll quote some excerpts from his chapter one. Chapter one is entitled Unpresidential. He goes on to say that if we are going to be honest with ourselves in assigning blame for the unhinged assault on Donald Trump, we must start with the validity of never Trump Republicans who opposed Trump's nomination disapproved of his campaign, and in many cases still resist his presidency. These include a vast array of prominent party figures, establishment conservatives, and moderates. Now, he's made a list here, which is kind of chilling when you read it. His list includes two former presidents, both Bushes, five GOP presidential primary candidates, 22 former cabinet-level officials, 20 current and former governors, 17 current and former U.S. senators, 62 current and former members of the House of Representatives, and others. Now, he goes on to say, arguably, now he's quoting, this is a quote from Stephen F. Hayes, who is the editor-in-chief of some magazine. The Weekly Standard. I apologize for that. I lost my place here. The Weekly Standard. All right. And so he says the following. Arguably, the single biggest story of the 2016 presidential contest has been how Trump's candidacy has divided the Republican Party, wrote Stephen F. Hayes, the magazine's editor-in-chief. Hayes accused Trump of casual dishonesty and alleged that such dishonesty was a feature of his campaign. And it's one of the many reasons so many Republicans and conservatives oppose Trump and will never support his candidacy. I am one of them. Now, Edward Klein goes on to say, many people, I among them, scratch their heads in puzzlement over these attacks from the right. What exactly do conservative and Republican naysayers have against Donald Trump? One, he is in favor of repealing and replacing Obamacare. So are they. Two, he is in favor of cutting taxes and reforming tax code. So are they. Three, he is in favor of removing excessive regulations on business. So are they. Four, he is in favor of securing America's borders. So are they. Five, he is in favor of Keystone XL pipeline. So are they. So you beginning to see the picture here? Six, he is in favor of repairing America's crumbling infrastructure. So are they. Seven, he is in favor of appointing originalists to the Supreme Court. So are they. He is in favor of school choice. So are they. He is pro-life. So are they. He is in favor of religious freedom and free speech. So are they. He is in favor of the right to bear arms. So are they. He is in favor of law enforcement and cracking down on crime. So are they. Yet his critics on the right urge that Trump isn't a true conservative. They have an assortment of complaints. They point out, for example, that when he was a businessman, Trump contributed to both parties, and that Trump himself changed his party registration, but so did Ronald Reagan. They charge that Trump has no political experience, that he didn't pay his dues by working his way up within the ranks of the Republican Party. This is true, but Trump voters hold that to his credit. They resent a Republican Party that seems big on talk and short on action. They believe that a businessman focused on results may do better. All right, so we will continue this discussion of this rather interesting and well-researched book. I do want to spend just a minute or two on The Art of War, so we will back for a very brief version of part three. Welcome back to part three of Throttle Up for this week. And part three, of course, is our radio essay. And then, and this is going to be a continuing discussion of Sun Tzu's The Art of War, which, of course, was the first formal document that addressed itself to warfare in the history, at least the history that we know of mankind. I believe this was written 2,500 years ago. So as we continue, we'll move on to chapter two. And the chapter two starts off by talking about waging war. And Sun Tzu says that in operations of war, where there are in the field 1,000 swift chariots, as many heavy chariots, and 100,000 mail-clad soldiers with provisions enough to carry them 1,000 li, the expenditure at home and at the front, including entertainment of guests, small items such as glue and paint, and some spent on chariots and armor, will reach the total of 1,000 ounces of silver per day. Such is the cost of raising an army of 100,000 men. When you engage in actual fighting, if victory is long in coming, then men's weapons will grow dull and their ardor will be dampened. If you lay siege to a town, you will exhaust your strength. Item three, again, if the campaign is protracted, the resources of the state will not be equal to the strain. So let me stop there and make a couple of comments. Now, we can see that what Sun Tzu is talking about is something that we are violating with respect to our continuing engagement in the war in Afghanistan. We've been there for 16 years, and nothing is resolved. We haven't conquered the region for various reasons, which I don't quite understand. If we conquer and hold land, that's one thing. But we're not doing that. And so if we're not going to conquer and hold land, what are we going to do? You can say, well, we're going to conquer, get rid of the enemy, and turn over the land to friendly forces. Has that actually worked? And the answer is no, it hasn't worked here. It hasn't worked in Vietnam. It has not really worked in Korea, although Korea was more or less a quasi-special state in that there was a demilitarized zone created and it was policed by both sides, so it stayed in place for 40 years. But nevertheless, what is it that we want to achieve in warfare? And if we're going to have a long drawn out affair, what does that mean in terms of our national treasure resources, and especially the lives of our warriors? So that is, and this whole book is an important, not in what it says, but what it is hopefully designed to help us think about how we conduct warfare. So it's kind of like a primer on how to think about our defense, national defense, and our warfighting capabilities. Okay, I can see by the clock of the wall that I'm getting close to the end of this program. I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for this great opportunity to have Throttle Up as part of their lineup. We are on the Red State Talk Radio every weekend. We're on three times every weekend. And so you can tune in and enjoy a ongoing discussion on critical thinking. Thank you, all you veterans out there. And for everyone, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and all the best to everyone, and we will see you next week.